We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
There's no mountain too high, no river too wide. Sing out this song and I'll be there by your side.
Welcome back to Tivating Patiently, the appreciation podcast that highlights, dives deeper, and celebrates the work and accomplishments of our Tony-winning national treasure, Aaron Tveit. I'm Elizabeth, and for this last podcast episode of 2025, it seems fitting to highlight some favorite Aaron moments from the year. And Aaron has had some range this year for sure, from concerts around the US to sold out shows in London to miscast for the 25th anniversary, the Tony Awards, the chess revival, being the face of Todd Snyder's fall fashion campaign. There have also been quite a few firsts for Aaron, most notably and most recently, Aaron has officially entered his TikTok era. Not only did he pitch the One Night in Bangkok dance challenge idea to Chess's social media team, thank you again, Erica, for that idea, but he created and posted his first solo TikTok to a trending sound and included the video that broke the internet the first time, his Roxanne opt up. And let's be real, anything that Aaron does causes a frenzy on the internet, but the Tveit corner of the internet has been waiting for Aaron to become more active on social media, and he decided to make wishes come true to wrap up this year. And 2025 for Aaron started on the other side of the country in Palm Desert, California, where he performed at McCallum Theater. And I've said this to friends a few times, like jokingly, that I prefer the time difference from when Aaron was in London versus West Coast time, because it's late for me by the time that California concerts start and end. And because I'm a crazy person, I, for this one, basically took a little nap and set an alarm for when this McCallum concert would end to wake up and look for some videos and get the texts from friends who were able to attend. And it's crazy behavior, I know, but like, it's Aaron, so the things you do. And thankfully this time difference doesn't happen too often, and for that I am so grateful. And I feel grateful that I live close enough to where he usually performs to see him so often. But his energy at McCallum that night to kick off the year, it was really off the charts based on the videos that were shared. And I love when he's surrounded by Brian and his band. Like, they're just always in sync with each other and so comfortable with each other. There was also a surprise concert appearance that happened in March when one of my favorite sparkling diamonds, JoJo, was performing her Too Much to Say tour at Terminal 5 in New York City. And she brought out Aaron to sing a verse with her, and it was surreal seeing the clips of them on stage together again. Like, they both instantly fell back into sync. And I remember the night, like, of that concert, like, I was like exhausted and I'm like, I'm gonna actually like go to bed early. And Aaron was like, joke's on you, no you're not, because as I'm like settling, I get a text from a friend that just went, Aaron is here. And then later, like, I found like the video of him, and then she sent me a video, and then, you know, you see every single angle of the verse that they sang together, and just love it. It was so fun, like that surprise of him coming out. And you it's like in the videos you see that he's so good at highlighting like his leads and who the lead is. And this was JoJo's show, and he definitely like was there to support her. And their chemistry was unbelievable, and it was unbelievable when they were in Moulin Rouge together, and I just missed them. And then there was April. Like, April of this year was the month of Aaron Tveit. Like, he was nonstop. And he kicked off this month in such a special, memorable fashion. Aaron was a part of the 25th anniversary show for Miscast. And what's sad and beautiful about Aaron's performance is that he sang his song, I Know Him So Well, from Chess, which, first of all, is, like, notable because of where he is now with Chess. But this duet, which in Chess takes place between Florence and Svetlana, was supposed to be with Aaron and Gavin Creel, and it was going to be their third duet together. But with Gavin's passing, that's just not to be. But they did such a good job, such a phenomenal job of keeping Gavin's presence and memory alive that night, and how they weaved him into different performances. And Aaron's performance, he opened it with giving a tribute to Gavin, and like how much Gavin loved theater and loved Miscast and how much he loved that show. And after Aaron finished performing, there was then like the photo montage tribute of Gavin, which was just beautiful. And he was such a light, and it still doesn't feel real that he's not here. But that same week after Miscast, Aaron was a guest vocalist for his music director, Brian Perry. And Brian made his debut at Carnegie Hall, where he performed his album songs, Few Good Words. And for Aaron, like it was after there was an intermission. So the first half of that was all the instrumental. And then after intermission, Aaron came out, and it was a 7-minute piece. And Brian had written the song Unorthodox Fairy Tale for Aaron. And it was music unlike anything we've heard Aaron sing before. And it was so beautiful, and he was so present. And it was so special to see him and Brian like performing together, sharing the stage, but in such a different way. Like, Aaron was as the support, the vocalist, and Brian was there just commanding the stage with his other musicians. It was phenomenal. It was a special night to be a part of, for sure. And then a few weeks later in April, he was in London, baby. Like, Aaron sold out the London Palladium. And if you remember, those tickets went on sale, and that night one sold out like instantly. And you know they had that night two in their back pocket, just like ready to bust it out. And they did, and that one sold out as well. And his London play, like, thank you so much to every person that like snuck videos and shared them, because he was phenomenal. Like, from his outfits to his voice, and like the set list was very similar to what he has sang at other concerts, but in London, like, he was phenomenal. And him bringing out Ricky Rojas to sing Roxanne together, like, Ricky sang Bad Romance, but then for them to sing Roxanne and for Ricky to start it, and then the violin to come in, and then Aaron to come in, like, so good. And just to see the two of them together sharing the stage. And one thing I love about, there's so much I love about London, but night one, they ended up doing two encores, because like he was just so loved, and there was just so much like support and energy in the theater that Aaron came back and they did A Million Dreams, which they did not perform on night two. So just night one got that second encore, which was beautiful. And you could tell that by that moment, like, every audience member was pretty much like, screw this, we're recording it. And they got, we pretty much saw like every angle of A Million Dreams, but it was amazing. And like his I'm Just Ken, him coming out in his sunglasses, like, he's so smooth, like, just love him. And then, can we talk about again, Why God Why? Like, he brought that one back out talking about movie musicals and how much he wants Miss Saigon to be a movie musical. And he takes off, like, his blazer jacket to reveal this, like, mesh, like, tank top. Yes, like, Todd Snyder, mwah, perfection. Thank you. It was so good. He was so good. And the lighting at that concert, like, perfection. Like, I wish I could have been there and seen it live. But I'm, like I've said earlier, so grateful that there were videos. And rounding out April, Aaron was back at 54 Below for an evening with Tom Kitt and friends. And he performed with Cassie Levy, and they sang songs from Next to Normal. He sang I'm Alive. He brought back the Desert Island, like, breakup song. And, like, that one, I always say, my daughter loves it. She calls it the Laura song because of all of it. But it was just, it was special to see him, like, in a small venue like that. You can tell he's so comfortable, and, like, see him interacting with Tom, and then to hear him with Cassie, like, God, I wish they could have played, like, Diana and Dan together. They would have been so good. Oh, and, like, another moment from that night was, like, that muscle memory, because Aaron was, when they sang You Don't Know, he was the Dan part, and there was, like, there was moments where he sang Gabe's lines and, like, had to catch himself, like, just loved it. And then, you know, like, that day, there were so many people that got to go to 54 Below, but then the next day was, like, a travel day, and then we were in Erie, Pennsylvania again at Mercyhurst University, where Aaron performed. And I don't know, like, how they get him to go there. Like, I mean, Erie is far, and there's, like, nothing there, but he has performed there twice, and Aaron had the meet and greet, and that meet and greet was special because, for me personally, like, my son had written him that note, and I got to give it to Aaron, and Aaron asked questions about Jacob seeing Moulin Rouge, and it was just, like, a special to have that moment with him. But then the concert itself was an Aaron concert. It was the similar set list again. He did, like, have a moment where he tripped over the piano bench with Brian during Dancing Through Life, and apparently Brian had tried to warn him, like, hey, that's there, and Aaron was like, whatever, and then, you know, oh, Brian was right. And also in May, it happened. The long-rumored Chess announcement came out, and Chess released the reel of Aaron, Nicholas Christopher, and Leah Michelle were going to star in Chess. Like, and, like, I mean, like, to quote Phoebe Buffay from Friends, it was, like, one of those sarcastic, that is brand new information. Like, we've known for months that this was, like, coming. Like, it had been so, like, the worst, best kept secret. And that dropped, and then, you know, and then it's all just, like, when are tickets going to go on sale? So for a while, they left us hanging, but finally having that announcement and knowing Aaron's going to be a part of a revival and in, like, such a powerful role as Freddie with the vocals was exciting. June, he was back at the Tony Awards rocking, like, all black and that pin that he lost for about 2 seconds, and then he got it back while he was on the red carpet. But he was with his Chess castmates. And then during the opening number, he had a microphone put in his face by the one and only Cynthia Erivo, and he sang a part of a line of her opening number with her. And then he presented with Leah Michelle. And they presented right after Audra McDonald did Rose's Turn, and Aaron comes out and he's just like, wow. And was like, yeah, exactly. Like, but so it was good to see him back there. Hopefully he will be back at this year's Tonys as a nominee. Hopefully, fingers crossed. Like, he's due again. He was due when he got Christian, when he got for Moulin Rouge. He's due now for this. July, he had two concerts. He was in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, and he performed, like, in the Berkshires again, where he was when he did Company. So he talked a lot there about how it was great to be back in the Berkshires and talked about Company. And I still wish that there was footage of Company to see him in that, but I think we just have to accept now that it's not. And then mid-July, he was at the Lurs Performing Arts Center in Shippensburg University. So he was on their campus at Lurs with a full orchestra, and he sang like his orchestra set list, like he did for Soraya with Roxanne and Being Alive and What Was I Made For. Like, he had the whole orchestra set list there, and it was beautiful. He was so good. And I remember afterwards, like, being at like the hotel bar, and the conductor was there, and the director of like the arts programs, like, they told us all about how they got Aaron and the rehearsal, how they had two rehearsals before that. Like, before that, they'd never met, they'd never worked together before, but they had two rehearsals, and then they pulled it off, and it was great. And let's see, August was a slower month for him, but he did go to Utah and performed his outdoor concert. And again, it was with an orchestra, and that had to be fun, like just like having like lawn seats and listening to Aaron outside for a summer's night. I think that would have been a cool experience to have. And in September, chess rehearsals were full force. The marquee was going up at the Imperial Theater. Aaron and Leah and Nick were in the rehearsal studios. And he also, in September, performed at the Mayo Performing Arts Center. And this concert, I loved it. Personally, loved it because I got to hear him sing A Million Dreams live for the first time. But not only did he sing it live, this was the one where he sang with all of the youth, like the youth choir, the youth students of the Mayo Performing Arts Center. And it was so special, like just to see him, like them looking at him with such like adoration, and him looking at them the same way, and taking his mic down away from his mouth to let them shine at certain moments, and just his encouragement to them. Like, it was so special to see that, like so, so special. October finally arrived. Finally, like this was like the countdown after the Hunger Games from Hell, trying to get tickets. But October 15th finally made it, and we had the first preview of Chess. And I have to say, that was my first preview, and that was so cool to be in the theater for that. Like, the energy was unbelievable. Like, I'll never forget like the length of the applauses that took place when Aaron and Nick and Leah like were introduced, or no, everybody was introduced. Bryce and Bradley, like they were, it was so fun to just be in there and that energy, and then to just see the show, like, you know, in its full form. And of course now like things have been cut and changed and adjusted, but we can always say like we saw it, like saw everything as it was. And so that's really fun. And I remember like asking somebody, because going in pretty blind, they had Pity the Child three different times. They had Pity One, Pity Two, and then Pity the Child. And I'm like, which one's the big one? And of course it was later in the show, his Pity the Child. But, and that's when he sang it in the original key and got so high at that point. But my favorite, one of my absolute favorite moments of that night for Aaron was the one night in Bangkok and him getting into his pants. Like, I think that is the coolest thing. And it was so unexpected. Like, everybody applauded, and people don't applaud as much as they did early on. And I'm just like, I will be blown away every time, because the coordination of that choreography to get him in there and keep going is seamless, and it's so good. And I just hope it always continues to go off without a hitch. And it wasn't enough for Aaron to, you know, take on this new huge role for this beloved revival. He also was, like, made his debut as the face of Todd Snyder's fall campaign. And the photos for that, like, I mean, there's one in him in, like, a cream-colored sweater that, like, almost tops the Prince James, like, cream sweater. Like, that photo of him is so good, so, so good. But he's just like, he's just such a natural. Like, what's it feel like to be like God's favorite and be so good at everything? Like, he just makes everything look effortless, like climbing the scaffolding and like, you know, a long wool coat and loafers, and he just looked phenomenal. And I think that's so cool and special that he is getting that recognition. And he speaks so highly of Todd Snyder and his line, and he describes it as like casual, elegant, which is like very Aaron. Like, he makes casual look so good. And so that's just really cool. And one of my friends was able to get like the, not the newsletter, but like the pamphlet of his cover ad. So like to have that is like a hard copy of that is fun. And almost done. November was a pretty big month. Like we had Chess's opening night. And then Aaron, you know, in Todd Snyder for the after party, like the, he was in like a pink, which I wasn't expecting. It was more like a dusty pink. I really thought he would be more black like he was for the Tonys, but he was in that. And Erica was stunning. And then Aaron, he posted this long, like montage, like put together. And I don't think he put it together, but like, just there was so much footage of him like behind the scenes, like in the dressing rooms and walking through the house and being on stage and his interactions with Erica, like after the show and at the after party, like there's one where him and his mom, like it's really cool to have that and have that memory. And then November also had a first, there's a couple firsts, but this first was Aaron's appearance on The Tonight Show. He said he'd never been on there with Jimmy Fallon. He, Leah and Nick were interviewed, and then Aaron performed one night in Bangkok, and he had Katie Webber and a couple other members of the ensemble with him for that. So it wasn't the full number, but it was still really cool to see that come and happen, like in that studio. This moment was a very typical, it seems like very, you know, on brand for Aaron when he finally was featured in Hannah Cruz's like Don't Sweat It vlog for Broadway.com, and she goes in with a magic eight ball for him and she's like, what burning question do you have? And Aaron, you know, we saw this, he shakes the eight ball and he just reads the answer, no doubt about it. And Hannah's like, dude, what's the question? And Aaron just like his face and his it was just so on brand for him. And I made a video of like how it's like the same energy as when he spelled pink, P-I-N-C-K. It was just like that disbelief, like, oh, damn it. So, and he also, you know, was in his, entered his TikTok era. This was it. He just posted the Bangkok dance challenge, and it's Aaron and the ensemble, and he's in just a hoodie and sweats, and they do a quick dance. And Aaron revealed at opening night that it was Erica's idea. He had shown her the choreography. And the part of the choreography that he made up, she told him it was ridiculous and it needed to be a TikTok. So he pitched it. Aaron, like, pitch more ideas, because that one was perfect. And here we are in December. He and the cast were on the Today Show. They performed the full number of One Night in Bangkok. And then there was like a little bit of a longer interview with when it was on like Jenna and Friends with Brooke Shields. So there was a little bit of a longer interview for them there. And Aaron revealed how karaoke, like he loves karaoke, but it's not fun as a performer because like you're not supposed to be good when you step up there to sing for karaoke. And of course he is. So he's like, it's just like that pressure on yourself, but also you make others like not intentionally, but like feel bad that you're better. I don't know. It was just funny just to hear him try to describe it. And then to like round things out, he posted his first solo TikTok. And I remember that being like posted and being sent to me and going to his like TikTok and like checking it like 15 times of like, is this really him? Like he, like, of course it's his account. Like he really posted this. And it was like, of course it was to the opt up. Like it was just perfect. Like, post your first TikTok, post it with a trending sound, post it with the video that broke the internet back in 2022. Like, Aaron, nailing it. And then, you know, Chess just did another one. Like, they're playing up the heated rivalry with him and Nick. And so they just did another Instagram TikTok together. I can't wait. I hope Chess continues this from now till May, gets him in more videos, gets him out of his shell. Like, he's good at it. He's so good at it. And it's so funny. And it's so fun to like see him stepping a little bit out of his comfort zone to do this, because we all know that he could care less about social media. So the fact that he's doing this is just special. And those were just highlights of his career and what he did this year. But I personally, I feel so fortunate to have seen him multiple times, to have already seen chess multiple times, to be able to have taken part in two meet and greets with him and had interactions with him, and like know that I'm recognized by him now. Like, it's very fun, and just to be able to talk to him, like, he's just such an easy person and calming presence to be around, and I don't doubt that it will stay that way. It's just, I don't take it for granted being able to see him. I could keep going just like reminiscing about like all the moments from this year, and I just have a feeling 2026 is going to take on like its own vibe, and there's going to be more firsts and more things where we're just like, wow, like he's keeping us on his toes, which is what he does best, and we are thankful for it, and I just can't wait to see what is in store. But I mean, thank you so much for being here for another year and supporting and listening to this podcast. If you're not doing so already, like, please go and follow along on Instagram at @tivating_patiently and on TikTok at @tivatingpatiently, and hope to have you back here in 2026 for episode 133. Thank you. Happy New Year.